You know, we're going to be looking this morning in the book of Daniel, which is in Daniel chapter 1. If you use the Bible in front of you there, it's in page 625. Page 625. Before we get started, though, I'm going to read a couple of verses out of the book of 2 Peter, and I'll just read those. Well, maybe we'll look at those later on. But 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power is granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust." Let's open in a word of prayer, and then we'll begin our look in Daniel chapter 1. Lord, I just thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. I thank you for the fact that you are a God who is powerful, that you are ever-present, that you are nothing has taken you by surprise, and that you have allowed each one of us to be here according to your plan and your will this morning. We thank you for the fact that your Holy Spirit lives amongst us and in us, and that he talks to us, that we might have a knowledge of your word and a knowledge and understanding of your will. And so we just ask that you would open our eyes this morning. Open our eyes that we might see, and open our hearts that we might know what your will is for us, each one of us, here this morning. And so we thank you for that this morning. We ask your protection upon our time together in Christ's precious name. Amen. You know, Daniel chapter 1, we're going to read probably verses 3 through 8. And then we'll be bouncing around in Daniel a little bit, but we're going to start with Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 through 8. And it says, Then the king ordered Ashpenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles, youths in whom there was no defect, who were good-looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had the ability for serving in the king's court. And he ordered him to teach them the literature and language of the Chaldeans. The king appointed for them a daily ration from the king's choice food. And from the food and wine which he drank, and appointed that they should be educated 3 years, at the end of which they were to enter the king's personal service. Now among them, from the sons of Judah, were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them, and to Daniel he assigned the name Belshazzar, to Hananiah Shadrach, and to Mishael Meshach, and to Azariah Abednego. But Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. And so he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself. We're going to look mostly in light of verse 8, where it says, Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself. You know, how many of you have ever been told, make up your mind, you know? I remember my mom, make up your mind, inside or out, you know? Keep the bugs out, let the cold air not come in, you know, that type of thing. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. You're going to eat that or you're not. Make up your mind. Are you going to be helpful or not? Make up your mind. And we say that often in our own, in our society. Make up your mind. That's some of the hardest things for us to do sometimes is make up your mind. Go to a restaurant. Look at a menu. You know, what should I get? I don't want to deprive myself of this treat, but I really don't want to miss out on this treat either. And so I'm trying to decide what I'm going to order. Trying to shop for carpet or clothes or cars. Trying to decide which house you're going to buy or how you're going to remodel the house. You know, the choices go on all the time. We are forced to make up our mind. And that's one of the things that we have to say to each other often. Make up your mind. And not only in terms of our choices, not only in terms of where we're going or what we're doing, but in choices that we need to make to our own personal life. We need to make up our mind as to how we are going to behave. We need to make up our mind as to how we want to be known. We need to make up our mind as to where we plan on going in our life, or plan on going in our life. I could sit here and dream about things all day long and all night long about how I'd love to do something, but at some point in time I have to make up my mind and determine whether or not I'm going to go, whether or not I'm going to stay where I'm at, what I'm going to do, am I going to go to school, am I going to spend my time in something that's over here or something that's over here? And we just have those choices before us. And now Daniel and his friends were forced with the decision here when they were very young men. We're not sure what the age was. It wasn't too old, or they probably would have been young men fighting in the battle, and they would have not been brought into the king's court. Daniel was a young Jewish boy, and the Babylonian king came down there and took over the countryside and took these young men into captivity. It wasn't a real comfortable time for Daniel and his buddies at that point. If you look at it closely, you realize that the king had probably killed his family. Or at least the leaders of the country. We don't know where else the rest of his family was, if he had brothers and sisters and parents who are now dead, or if they were held in another part, or they were sold into slavery to another country. We don't know. We just know that he was a young Judean boy who was now brought into this foreign country, in this foreign land. And because of his appearance, because of his intelligence, or because of his family lineage, he was now thrust into the king's service. It was kind of a disrupting time for him. And he had some choices to make. And throughout Daniel, we see a number of times where they made choices that were honoring as unto the Lord God. And yet they had to make those choices very early in their life. And it started right out. You know, as the scriptures, the portion we read, you know, they just came, and the youth, and the king, this is the third verse of the chapter, third verse of the book. They just got there. They hadn't unpacked yet. And the king ordered them to begin a training to become servants in his own court. He was going to indoctrinate them quickly into what he wanted them to do. I got a feeling as we read later on, we'll look at the king and how he ordered them to be killed, all the wise men to be killed. And I think he just loved to kill people once in a while. I think he probably killed all his wise men already once before. And so he was desperate. The barrel was empty. He needed some wise men. He needed them quick because he couldn't run the kingdom by himself. He had a hot temper. Anyway, Daniel was thrust into this responsibility of being part of the king's court. So we're going to look at three different areas this morning where Daniel resolved or determined or made up his mind to honor God rather than man. We're going to start in verse 8. It says, Daniel made up his mind that he would not defile himself with the king's choice food or with the wine which he drank. Daniel resolved to honor God physically. You know, we all have choices to make as to how we're going to live in our lives. Like I said, we've had choices to make as to what we're going to do on everything. Every morning we get up, there's choices. Not very often is there not a choice we can make. Even going to work, we can say, I'm not going to work today. Might have some dire consequences or circumstances, but we can make that choice if we want to. And Daniel here made a choice that he would not defile himself. Being a young Jewish boy, he was under the law. The laws of the Judean culture were that there were certain foods they could not eat. There were things they would have to abstain from. And they were thrust into the king's service of this foreign king and this foreign god and their religions. And there was food there that would have been unclean for a Jewish boy. Years ago, I worked at a farm just for one night, I think, maybe just a little bit more than that. It was called Pop's Dairy Farm in New York, up by Rochester. We were going to school over there, and I got a job on this farm, and this was a kosher milk farm. Okay, Mr. Pop himself and his family were good Baptist people, but this was kosher farm. So they had two rabbis that was their job. And I always wondered how far you had to be up or down on the rabbi ladder to be stuck at a dairy farm in upstate New York. But anyway, and they were there. And their job was to make sure that the cows were fed food that was kosher. That the cows did not eat anything with the animal byproducts in it. That there were certain grains and certain minerals that they could not have. And make sure that they were fed. And so they blessed the feed when it came in. They blessed the milk as it went out. They kept it separate. So that they had an identifying trait to it, that they knew that this milk was approved for the use of the Jewish culture, trying to live within the laws of the Jewish custom in New York City. This is where the milk went. And so that's the same thing Daniel was faced with here. He was faced with the fact that he had to understand that there were things in this culture, things that he was going to be fed, things that he was going to be asked to eat and drink that were not allowed in the Jewish culture. He had to make up his mind to honor God. He had to resolve to honor God physically. You know, there's a lot of correlations here to our own lives. If we look at how are we going to honor God in our own lives? Are we going to honor Him through our behavior? Are we going to honor Him through our actions? Honor Him through our physical lives? We need to make up our minds and try to decide what we're going to do. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, say, for example, there's a couple of them in the New Testament. It says, by the mercies of God, we are to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. Realize that we are God's, each and every one of us, and that He determines what is right for us and what is best for us, and we are to offer ourselves up as sacrifices unto Him, which He finds pleasing. 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us that as aliens and strangers in this place, abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. There are things we may want to do. You know, the Bible also says there are things that are permissible, but there are things that are probably not the best for us. All things are allowed, but not all things are good. We should make those choices in our life. And like Daniel, we have to make those choices to what we would do physically with our lives and with our bodies and with our hearts and with our minds. But there also comes a time which is how we are going to live. How then shall we live? Again, Romans chapter 6, it talks about how, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? It says, God forbid, because we've been delivered from this, and so we should no longer live in it, okay? The physical act of sinning at that point in time is overriding our spiritual life, and we need to get back on track. Daniel had to make up his mind how he was going to serve this living God that he had faith in, that he had belief in, and he was going to do it first, right off the bat, in the physical way. He was pretty wise in how he did this. And it goes on to the next point, where it says, where Daniel resolved to honor God with integrity through his work and through his reputation. Daniel used his head at the same time. If we read the rest of the story here in Daniel chapter 1, it goes down and talks about how he was going to not eat this food and drink, but he didn't say, absolutely not, which would probably got his head cut off right away. Because he said he sought permission from the commander of the officials that he might not defile himself, and now God granted Daniel favor and compassion in the sight of the commander. But the commander said, I'm afraid of my lord, the king, who has appointed your food and your drink, for why should he see your faces looking more haggard than the youths who are your own age? Then he would make me forfeit my head to the king. So the commander he approached says, not a chance. You're going to eat the stuff I give you because I'm not losing my head over this whole deal. This is good food. It's the king's choice food. And he was wise. He went to the second in command then because he found favor in the eyes of the commander. Daniel went to the second in command and made the same request and said, let's give us a little test for 10 days. Feed us the vegetables that we're looking for. And then you make a decision at the end of that 10 days. And he spent that time probably praying about it. And at the end of 10 days, the official noticed, so he listened to them in this manner, and at the end of 10 days, their appearance seemed better, and they were fatter than all the youths who had been eating the king's choice food. So the overseer continued to withhold their choice food and wine they were to drink and kept giving them vegetables. And God gave these four youths, and as for those four youths, God gave them knowledge and intelligence in every branch of literature and wisdom. And Daniel even understood all kinds of visions and dreams. So Daniel resolved to honor God with integrity. If we look through the rest of the story here, and it's right down through verse 17, which I read most of it. Also in Daniel chapter 2, verse 14, when King Nebuchadnezzar was going to have all the wise men of Babylon killed, Daniel replied with discretion and discernment, it says in 2:14. And Daniel replied with discretion and discernment. Discernment. He didn't just make a statement. He didn't slam his fist on the pulpit and say, or on the door, or on the table, or the chair. Absolutely not. And go gloriously to his death. He used a little wisdom, a little discernment, a little intelligence, the whole matter. And God blessed him with that. He didn't compromise, but he was strong with wisdom. We need to, in our own lives, see these same traits. We need to have an understanding as to how we should behave and how we should act. And God should work in our lives in such a way as that we can resolve to honor him with this wisdom and discernment and with this integrity. It is for our benefit that we recognize and remember that as believers, we have the same extraordinary spirit, the spirit of the living God living within us that was in Daniel. And God's spirit desires to teach us and to give unto us the fruit of his spirit, as we see in Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the spirit is not antagonism and strife and jealousy and envy. And all. No, it's love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering. I think there's eight of them listed there that should be attributes that we see in our own lives. And this is the same spirit that lives within God because the people recognize, the king recognized that he had a spirit living within him. That there was something different about him. And when Daniel prayed to God, he was as if he was standing in his presence and he was talking to him. And they understood that and they recognized that. And that's what I need in my own life. I guess that's what all of us need in our lives. I don't know who you are or where you are standing spiritually, what struggles you're facing this morning, but a little integrity in our lives would be great. Integrity not only towards how we relate to each other, but how we relate to God. Understanding that he is powerful and all-knowing and has worked and poured himself into our life. And if we believed in Christ as our Savior, if we've embrace that salvation offered, then we are his, and he gave his spirit unto us that we can know how to answer, how to reply, how we should then live. In the book of Joshua, I believe it is, in chapter 25, you know, when Joshua was standing before the people and they had been fled and followed after other gods, and he said, now you can follow after these gods if you want, but for me, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord, he said. He made a turnaround, a point in time which he turned in his integrity, in his honesty, in his decisions. By his reputation, he wanted it to be known that he was going to serve the true and living God, and he was not going to follow after these false gods any longer. God has given us the same spirit to teach us and to shape us into his image. And this is what set Daniel and his friends apart. Not unto a life of ease. He could have very easily just agreed to whatever the king wanted to do and thrived a little bit and been one of the overseers of things and just been kind of a wise man. And he would have just had a real relaxing, kind of a nice captivity while he was there. But he chose instead to follow after God. As we see in the rest of the stories throughout the book of Daniel, where the three, his friends, were cast into the fiery furnace. Hey, it might be wacko, but we're going to say, no, king, we're not going to serve you. Go ahead and kill us. Their faith was strong right to the time they landed in the bottom of that furnace. It was strong all through that time as well. The story is that they were thrown into the furnace. In fact, they'd heated it so hot that it was 7 times hotter than they normally fired it, and that people throwing them in were burned to death before they even got to the edge of it. And yet they're standing back at a distance looking into this fire, and they can see not 3 but 4 people walking about in there, and God had delivered them from the fire. Which really kind of convinced King Nebuchadnezzar a little bit, which is a glorious thing in itself. But Daniel resolved to honor God with his integrity. Thirdly, we want to look at Daniel resolved to be dependent on God and to honor God in all things, to be dependent upon God. In chapter 2 of Daniel, verses 17 through 23, we hear the statement of what happened. Now, Daniel was tested, and because of the dream that the king had, nobody could get an answer to what this dream meant. And so he was going to kill all the wise men because they weren't satisfying his needs. And that's exactly what I meant. I'm saying maybe he already killed them once before, too. And so, you know, he probably had a habit of killing people. And so here was Daniel and his friends and all these young Jewish boys coming up into the ranks of the wise men, and they were all clumped together with that. And if nobody could give an answer to the king about his dream, he was going to have them all killed. And so Daniel said, hey, just give us a couple minutes here. Can we look at this? And he and his friends, the three friends, got together and prayed to God. They realized where their help came from, where their hope came from, where the answer would come from, and it came from God. And in verses 17 it says, and Daniel went to his house and informed his friends Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah about the matter, that they might request compassion from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and his friends would not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men. And the mystery was revealed to Daniel. So when faced with death, they didn't compromise, but instead remained faithful to God and trusted him for their future. When I am faced with difficult times, I often whine about it. Our life is full of difficult choices, and the outcomes are not always glorious and easy. Daniel and his friends followed after God. They did what was right, and yet the king still threw the three of them into the fiery furnace. Later on, he threw Daniel into the lion's den. Our faithfulness to God is not dependent upon his answers giving us ease and comfort in our lives, but rather upon the fact that we honor him and we worship him and we choose him over everything else, because that is the only thing we believe that matters in our lives. In chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, the competition for Daniel, anyway, in his position. At this time, he had been given authority over a lot of the area, the kingdom. He was rising in intelligence and rising in wisdom and rising in credibility with the king. Chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, we hear a little bit of a discussion going on here. And then the commissioners and satraps, that's his competition, the people who were not of Jewish descent, but none of these three or four young people, the commissioners and satraps begin trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs. But they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption inasmuch as he was faithful, and no negligence of corruption was to be found in him. And when these men said, we will not find any ground of accusation against Daniel unless we find it against him with regard to the law of his God. And so they sought to trap him by having the king issue a decree and signing it into law that anybody who worshipped anything for 30 days other than the king would be put to death. And they got Daniel. Knowing the decree, he stood in front of his open window and bowed before the Lord God Almighty and worshipped him at the proper time. And they trapped him, they saw him, they seized him, they threw him in the lion's den because they knew that there was no compromise within his spirit. They need to get Daniel out of their way of their corporate climbing up the ladder. You know what I mean? You know, they wanted to have success, and they wanted to have the attention of the king. And their religious values held no meaning to them at all. There was no conviction in that regards at all. What they cared about was what the comfort they could get from the situation. And they said, worshiping anybody doesn't matter to us. And so we'll just worship whatever's convenient. If it happens to be the king for 30 days, no problem. But we see this God that Daniel worships is powerful. And we realize that Daniel loves him and worships him in all his heart and with all his integrity. He honors him physically. He honors him with his integrity. And he honors him with his very life. And so they trapped him. Which really backfired on them, by the way. They threw Daniel in the lion's den, and the next morning, the king stood before the tomb, before the lion's den. I got to see what he says here. You know, the king gave orders, and Daniel was brought in and cast in the lion's den, and king spoke and said to Daniel, this is before they threw him in, he said, your God, whom you constantly serve, will himself deliver you. The king had faith in that himself. He loved this young man. He was going to throw him into the lion's den anyway, because he had issued a decree. He could not argue with it. But then at dawn the next day, at the break of day, when he went in haste to the lion's den, the king did. And when he came to the near to Daniel, he cried out with a troubled voice. The king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you constantly serve, been able to deliver you from the lions? And then Daniel spoke to the king, O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me. Inasmuch as I was found innocent before him, and also toward you, O king, I have committed no crime. Then the king was very pleased, and he gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatever was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And the king then gave orders, and they brought those men who have maliciously accused Daniel, and they cast them and their children and their wives into the lion's den, and they had not reached the bottom of the den before the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. It doesn't always work out this way. In our lives, in your life, and in my life, we face difficult situations and we have to make decisions. We have to make up our mind who we are going to serve and how we are going to serve him. And we have to make those choices and stand on the promises and principles of God who is faithful to us, who has always proved himself faithful as he did here in Daniel and his friends' lives. The same God is promising to be faithful and standing in your life as well. He may not deliver me from the hardships I face, but he has always walked through them with me. That's the promise he gives. No matter what struggles you're facing, no matter what the circumstances are causing you to be discouraged or struggle or saddened or disheartened, no matter what difficulties we face, we have a God who is able to deliver us from these things if he so chooses. And if not, we'll be delivered on the other side, even if we're cast into the very pit of lions. If God chooses, we can walk out of there unharmed. And if not, we'll just enter into his kingdom because of that faith that we can have. Those are the difficult choices we have to make. No matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, we have a constant choice to make that we're going to serve this true and powerful and living God, or we're going to serve the God of this world. We cannot be deceived by that. Our choices aren't easy to make. Our choices are very difficult at times. Not because of the understanding, and we're trying to comprehend exactly what they are, but just because we need to make up our mind, we need to make a decision that I will serve God and trust in Him no matter what, or I will trust in man and his craft, and his images. No matter what I'm struggling with, that's the situation I have to find myself in at every point. And the longer I get in the habit of serving God and making the choices to follow after Him, the easier it becomes, because then there's no second guessing it. There's no second choice involved at all. God is who I will serve. I believe the path He has for me is the best for my life and for my family, the best that He has for me individually for all eternity. And I will trust in Him no matter what. And that's what the Bible does for us. It shows us the examples of God's faithfulness over and over and over again. And the power of Christ working in people's lives, that they might have an understanding of exactly what God has done. They might know the personality and the character of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who died for us. Those are the issues we need to determine in our lives, that we will serve Him. We determine or resolve that we will serve God physically, that we will serve Him with integrity, and that we will serve Him with our dependency. I couldn't remember my own notes. You know, that's what we want to have. That's what we need to have in our lives. When I started, I said I read in the book of 1 Peter, the second Peter, the book of 2 Peter, and I read verses 2 through 4, verse 1. And I'm going to read the rest of them now down through about verse 10. The book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, starting again in verse 4. By these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world by lust. Now for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. In verse 11 it says, for in this way the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will be abundantly supplied to you. We have choices to make today. We need to make up our mind how we are going to live our lives. No matter what difficulty we're facing, no matter what wall we're standing before that seems insurmountable, we have an opportunity right now today to be able to say, Lord, I will trust in you. One of the greatest obstacles we have is the first one we come to when we pray to God, is that we are having an obstacle of eternal life. And forgiveness and mercy and grace was God has showered upon us. He has extended His mercy and grace to all mankind. It's up to us to receive it. It's up to us to decide if we want to accept the gift of Jesus Christ that we celebrated through communion, His body and His blood. Those are the gifts that we have to make a decision on right away. Those are the things we need to make up our mind about. We need to decide if I'm going to serve this true and living God, not only after I come to Him for salvation, but for salvation itself. And we are to apply all these things in diligence and faith and moral excellence and knowledge and self-control and perseverance and godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Those aren't feel-good things. I mean, they sound kind of happy, you know, they sound kind of, oh yeah, sure, you don't know where I'm at. God knows exactly where each one of us are at. He knows exactly what struggles we are facing, and He's standing there with His arms open wide, saying, if you would just turn to me, I'll make it better. If you just turn to me, I'll give you comfort and joy and peace and strength and endurance and knowledge and wisdom and understanding. And in the midst of that, He'll grant us brotherly kindness and love. But our first step is turning to Him for salvation. That's what we have to understand in our lives. Let's close in prayer. Father, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for the fact that you have given us a brief glimpse of your power and might, that those who serve you are serving a true and living God, and that you have given us the same ability, the same opportunity to serve you. Lord, I don't know everybody here in this room this morning, I pray that all of us will have trusted you for salvation, but I have to ask that if there are some here who have not trusted you for salvation, that you would work in their heart, that they would have an understanding that today is perhaps the day when they should make that choice, when they should make up their mind. Lord, I ask that there's not some here this morning who have not ever made that choice to receive you as their Lord and Savior, that they do so at this time. It is very quick and easy. It's just a matter of admitting that you are powerless over the sin that we all have in our lives. And recognizing that your blood, O Lord, has set us free, then turn to you and say, Lord Jesus, save me. By your power and your might and by your blood, we ask that it be so. Lord, if the rest of us here, as we are going through our week and through our lives, we don't know for sure what's going on, but we know that there are struggles each and every day for each and every one of us, and we ask that our hearts would be turning towards you, that we would not struggle with these things on our own, that we would not try to define ourselves by our own strength, but like Daniel, that we would resolve, that we would be determined, that we would make up our minds to serve you and not be defiled by these things that are yapping at our heels. True strength and true peace comes through you. We ask that it would be so in our lives. We ask that you would work in our hearts, each and every one of us, that we may be more like our Savior Jesus through the power of your Holy Spirit, which lives in us, which gives us hope, which gives us peace, which gives us your love. And so we ask that you would work in our lives. Pray that you'd open us up to be truthful and honest about our condition. For you already know it. We just trust in you to give us your healing and your strength. In Jesus' name, amen.